A very happy Friday to each and every one of you, and a great big thank you to those of you who are supporting Into the Word financially to keep this program on the air right here. If anyone wants to help them in that effort, it's easy enough to do. All you have to do is write down the contact information you'll hear at the end of today's program. Then you can send your one-time or ongoing gift of any amount to that address, and it will be applied to the radio fees. Fridays, I also try to take the time to encourage you to be an active part of local body life. Everyone should have a home church. Everyone should be gathering together to worship and pray and fellowship and serve and study all together as the body of Christ in a local area. If you do not have a home congregation, quit dragging your feet. Get out there, do the research, find a good place, and become part of that local family. If you're actively looking right this moment and you're within driving distance of the Elkhart East building, we would certainly encourage you to come and check us out as a potential local family of Jesus Christ Church. We are going to continue our study in Moses' big book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, by opening to chapter number 10 today. We have finished completely the story of the flood, and we know from the last thing that we read that Noah lives for about 350 years to the other side of this restart in the new world. And we know that his sons, three of them, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, were the last generation born previous to the flood. And they are now kicking off the restart of humanity on planet Earth. And so we need to understand that these three families, the Shemites, the Hamites, and the Japhethites, become the ancestors of everyone living on planet Earth today. And in chapter number 10 of Genesis, we find what has been typically referred to as the Table of Nations. Basically, it is a list of the ethnic groups that existed probably at the time of the Tower of Babel incident, which we'll read about in chapter number 11. And that this is ultimately where all of us can trace back our roots in some form or fashion to these names in Genesis chapter number 10. Let me mention that the Tower of Babel incident, which I've already said seems to precipitate the naming of all these ethnic groups, seems to have taken place underneath the, shall we say, leadership, the poor leadership of Nimrod, who is a grandson of Canaan, or excuse me, of, all of a sudden I lost him, of Ham. And so this is the likelihood that we're talking about the Tower of Babel taking place about four generations into the new earth. Now, these generations are not nearly as long in duration as the previous generations before the flood were, but they're still pretty long. And so my guess is that the Tower of Babel is going to happen several hundred years after the flood was finished, and a couple of hundred years, I think, maybe at least 100, 150 years after Noah had passed from the scene. But we'll get to that in a bit. Let's kind of break down the idea of ethnicity in its three basic groups and understand how they began spreading over the earth. Now, they actually did drag their feet to begin with, and so God kind of forces the issue after the Tower of Babel incident. But this is the way that the Table of Nations is laid out. Genesis chapter 10, verse number 1. These are the generations or the beginnings of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So those are the three base groups. All of us trace our roots back to one of those three, sometimes because of intermixing between the little subgroups, you might have all three, I suppose. Sons were born to them after the flood. It seems as if the first baby was born in the second year after the flood. Verse number 2, the sons of Japheth. So we start with the number 3 son first. Gomer, Magog, Madai, Yavin, Tubal, Meshech, Tiras. So those are the grandsons of Noah through Japheth. The Tower of Babel incident happened while they were alive, but it was the next generation and the generation after that seemed to be the key players whenever the ethnic groups come into existence. So we move down another list. The sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Rephath, and Togarmah. The sons of Yavin, Elisha, Tarshish. Now this is where we now start getting some names that we recognize from elsewhere in Scripture. Not as the names of personalities, but the names of places. So Tarshish is one of the locations that the far-ranging ships go to. And so this seems to be a Mediterranean tie-in here. Kittim does seem to be a reference, I believe, to Cyprus and the Dodanim. From these, the coastland people spread in their lands, each with his own language, by their clans and in their nations. It is interesting that Josephus jumps in here in his Antiquities of the Jews, and he starts identifying some of these people groups very specifically. And so this is from chapter 6 of, I think it's book 1 of the Antiquities of the Jews. And he says that the Japhethites included these. Gomer, whom the Greeks now call the Galatians or the Gauls. So the Gauls are located both in Asia Minor, but they're also over in what we would call France, so Western Europe. And then Magog founded those who were named the Magogites, but the Greeks called them Scythians, or Scythians, a lot of people will pronounce it. The Scythians were from the upper portion of the ancient Middle Eastern world. They're actually in part of what we'd call Southern Europe, up by the Ural Mountains and in that region in vicinity there. Now as to Yavin and Madai, the sons of Japheth, from Madai came the Medians, who are called the Medes by the Greeks. Now, that is also in the upper Middle Eastern region, not too terribly far from the Caspian Sea and from the Caucasus Mountains. And then we've got from Jabin, you've got the Ionian, and all the Grecians are derived. So as we read through the writings of Josephus, the understanding of the first century Jewish people was effectively that the Japhethites, once the Tower of Babel incident happens in the Middle East, they kind of scatter a little bit northward and a lot westward. And they take over and populate the region that we call Armenia and Azerbaijan and southern Russia, and then across what is now Turkey, and even into the Greek islands and into the Greek mainland, the Macedonian area, up into Italy and the southern part of Europe proper. So for our purposes, the Japhethites seem mostly to be Europeans. So those of us that come from European stock, which I do, are Japhethites of some form or fashion. Now, back to our inspired text. Chapter 10 of Genesis, verse 6. The sons of Ham were Cush. Mitzrayim is the actual Hebrew, but we have the Greek equivalent, Egyptus or Egypt, Put, and Canaan. So those are the base groups that are the grandsons of Noah through Ham. And we already talked about Canaan being the one that had a curse pronounced about his future descendants becoming servants of the Israeli people in particular. The Cushites, we've mentioned that they're a little bit hard to pin down because Cush is most certainly the name of ancient Ethiopia, which is south of Egypt. But it is also a name associated with the Middle East, the Upper Middle East in Mesopotamia. So these folks kind of start out in the Mesopotamia region, but apparently spread southward and westward. So they come down into the lower Middle East, but also push over into Africa. A little bit more detail, verse 7. The sons of Cush, Seba, which seems to be related to Sheba, which is the south part of the Persian peninsula. Havilah, which we're pretty sure that's somewhere in the lower Middle East, not too far from Egypt, not too far from the Promised Land. Sabta, Rama, and Sabtika. The sons of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan. Those are definitely associated with the Arabian Peninsula region. Now then, verse 8, which is going to serve as a little bit more of an introduction now to our next story that's coming up, the whole Tower of Babel debacle. Cush fathered Nimrod. He was the first on earth to be a mighty man. Now, this is the first on the new earth we're talking about. Gibrim, or a Gibra. He is a mighty man, which in other contexts, and this is just me offering some thought to chew on, in some contexts is a reference to the giant groups again. And remember, the giants, the word for giant was not necessarily talking about gigantic in size, but much more about this idea that the fallen angels were messing around with the human genome. And we read in the book of Genesis chapter 6 that that happened before the flood, but it also happened after the flood. And so it is possible that on a much more smaller scale, the fallen angels very quickly, within the second generation after the flood, started trying to mess around with the gene again, the human genome, and that Nimrod was part of that, that he may have been what is sometimes referred to in other places as a demigod, that is a half god or half Elohim, half mighty one. And so he causes trouble. Verse 9, he was a mighty hunter before he who is, which doesn't necessarily mean attached to the holy God, but rather that in the sight of God, which is everywhere, he was something else. Some of the stories related to him in legends and things say that he wasn't just a hunter of animals, he was a hunter of people, that he was a really bad guy. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before he who is. Now, verse 10 is where we get our understanding that he was associated with the Tower of Babel incident. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. And we know that Babel is the place where the Tower of Babel incident take place. So he was the first one to be associated with the kingdom at Babel. But also Erech, Akkad, and Galna in the land of Shinar. So that is the core of what we call Mesopotamia today, the heartland of the land between the two main rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates. And we know that that is where the Tower of Babel incident takes place. The traditions, again, the stories are that Nimrod got it in his head that it would be a shameful thing for humanity to cow beneath the hand of a god that drowned out all of the people with the great big flood. And so he came up with the idea that we need to build something to show that God is not going to do that to us again, that we will make it big enough to go up and over the tops of the of any type of rainwater he sends again, and we'll also make it waterproof so that he can't drown us out. We'll have a place where we can go, and we will even build it high enough that we can challenge him personally in the heavenly realm. And it would also appear that he may have had some tie-in with the fallen angels. More on that when we get back to the Tower of Babel incident in chapter 11. But it says here that he didn't just simply start civilization centers, that is, city-states, in the core of ancient Mesopotamia. He spread it around. It says from verse 11, from that land, that is, Babylonia, the land of Shinar, the place where the Tower of Babel happened, from there he went into Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth-ir, Calneh, and Rezin, between Nineveh and Calneh, that is the great city. So he becomes kind of the father of the Assyrian ethnic group, the Assyrian empire that will eventually rise up. And the Assyrians really had an attitude problem toward everybody else. I often mention when I'm teaching through Scripture, think of the Assyrians like Nazis, because that was their attitude. They alone were the true humans, and everybody else was cattle. They were resources to be used and exploited and thrown away. And so Nimrod, after the Tower of Babel, apparently went off to Nineveh, built it, and made it the beginnings of this Nazi-like culture that will cause so much trouble for the Jewish people later. Now, back to the base groups that are part of the Hamites. Verse number 13, Mitzrayim, or Aegyptus, Egypt, fathered the Ludim, the Anamim, Lebahim, and Naphtuhim, Pathrusim, Kasluhim, from whom the Philistines come, and Kaphtorim. So every time you see that I-M ending on the proper names like this, that means a people group. And so the original name was probably Lud Anum Lahab Naphtum Pashru Kaslu Gaftor. But they turn into people groups. Now, these people groups, some of them are identified right here for us. The Philistines come from the Aegean area, the Greek Isle area. And Gaftarim, I think that's the Cyprus tie-in right there, or maybe Crete. Now I'm not sure off the top of my head, and I didn't put that into my notes here to remind myself. But here is the beginning of the Canaanites that we see as well from this group that started in Mesopotamia, spread southward through the lower Middle East, where the Promised Land is going to be, over into Africa and southward from there and westward from there across northern Africa. But at the center of that spread is Canaan, which is of particular interest to the Israelis who are reading this book. Verse 15, Canaan fathered Sidon, or Sidon, his firstborn, and we have a whole city, an ancient city that is named after him, and that is part of the Phoenician culture that gets started with that. And Heth, from which the Hittites come, and they had a great big culture up in the northern part of the Middle East, but they also spread southward. Verse 16, and the Jebusites, which is the ancient name for Jerusalem, Salem, the Amorites and the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Arkites and the Sinites, the Arvadites and the Zemarites and the Hamathites. Again, in this case, we've got a non-Hebrew plural ending on all of these names to show that they are people groups. The original name of the person, you just take off that "ites" ending, and you would probably have the name of the actual descendant of Canaan. But these guys are all over the Middle East, and the Israelis will run into pretty much all of these people. Afterwards, the clan of the Canaanites dispersed, and the territory of the Canaanites extended from Sidon, that is Sidon, Tyre and Sidon, in the direction of Gerar, which is part of the western coastline of the Promised Land, as far as Gaza. And by now, you almost everybody knows where Gaza is located because of current events there. And in the direction of Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, and Zeboim, as far as Lasha. So these are the cities that will eventually be destroyed somewhere around where the Dead Sea is located today. And so Moses is making sure that even that tie-in is understood by the Israeli people that are going to go in and possess this land. And verse 20, these are the sons of Ham by their clans, their languages, their lands, and their nations. Again, the understanding is that these are the people groups that come into clear existence with their languages at the end of the Tower of Babel incident. The Japhethites spread from Mesopotamia northward, westward, and they pretty much become the Europeans. The Hamites, they spread from Mesopotamia southward, so they become part of the Middle Eastern people groups, but they also go down into Africa, and they become the African people groups, spreading all across North Africa, but also down to the south, deep into Africa. That leaves only one other base people group, and that would be the Shemites. Verse 21 says, to Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, Now, Eber is where we get the name Hebrew. The Jewish people descend from Eber. Now, the reason he becomes important, it would appear, is that he was alive or born shortly after the Tower of Babel incident. And so his language group becomes the base of the new people group called the Hebrews. So Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the elder brother of Japheth, children were born. The sons of Shem, Elam, Asher, Arpachshad, Lud, and Aram. Those are all places in the Middle East. Some of it in Mesopotamia, but others southward toward the Promised Land area. Aram is equivalent to Syria today. The sons of Aram, Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash. Arpachshad fathered Shelah, and Shelah fathered Eber. And so we will be talking about Eber a lot more as we move forward in this story of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and onward, because they are from this particular group. Before we close up today, let's talk about where the Hebrews are going to be located, where the Shemites are located. They are part of the Middle East, but they also go eastward toward India and southward toward the Promised Land. And so Abraham, whose story we will eventually tell, is right in the heart of Shemite territory. But he is asked to go beyond Shemite territory down into Hamite territory to go and live in Canaan itself. We will go ahead and put our marker right there. I hope to see you again next week when we get back into God's inspired word.